Maniacs! Megalomaniacs! We know so many of them. Some people might even be here in this panel. Not really. But they're filled throughout the Marvel Universe. The Marvel Universe is filled with megalomaniacs, and we're going to talk about them. You know what else is filled with megalomaniacs? Legion and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to tackle those newest episodes, the maniacs who are in them, and why we love them. Marvel TV Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
You know, choosing this song really led to some controversy before we started as to whether or not Flashdance is a good movie. I think that's what we're going to spend the hour on. Not really, but Footloose is better. Welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. I am Christian Blatt, joined, as always, by the one and only Michael Shirley.
Yep, that's me. I'm ripping Christian Blatt with my black cat.
That's right. You really did it.
I was a guest on the panel.
In an upcoming episode, you'll hear Michael, and I gave him a black cat shirt, and he managed to make it fashionable. Follow us for a closer look at that. And Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Yes, hi. I want a shirt, too.
Well, you have to go on the black cast.
You have to go on the black cast. So
we'll have to do that.
All right. And, you know, I feel like you and I have already talked about Legion, but we'll do it again in a little bit anyway. And Carrie Lane.
What's up? I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'll be a guest, too.
Look, that's all it takes.
Yay.
You know, you just have to be on the show, and then you get one. And it goes for you, Black Cast Nation. I don't think I hear anything. Does anybody hear anything?
No.
Tony B. Tony.
No, Tony.
Is that Tony B. Tony underscore
He's
in the
like,
booth?
It be Tony.
Hey, Tony, what be going on?
I want a shirt.
You want a Black Cast shirt, too. The best part of the Black Cast shirt is that I literally stole the font from the Amazing Spider-Man logo. But anyway.
Sweet. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Anyway, so much to talk about. And we are going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Momentarily. But let's start off talking about the future of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, not the future that they were in the beginning of the season, but the fact that ABC's upfronts are Tuesday. And we still don't know for sure one way or the other. If it was definitely being canceled, you feel like we'd know. But at the same time, there are some theories that they might bust out the new Warriors show that kind of went away from Freeform. And they want to get that all buttoned down. And then they want to be able to say, hey, so no more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but now we have new Warriors. I don't think it's going to be a good replacement if they do that. But so we literally don't know. There's one episode left in this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we have no idea as to whether or not it's a season finale or series finale. I just have the feeling, and because I'm a pessimist, I feel like it is canceled. That'll be the series finale. And I also, when we get to the talk of the episode, I think that people are going to be very upset. These are all my predictions. I haven't seen them or anything. Exactly. Michael, what do you think? I know we've talked about this in recent weeks, but now it's crunch time.
I don't think it's going to get canceled. I think if it was going to get canceled, we would have known. It would be hailed as the final season.
They only just canceled Inhumans, like today.
Stop.
No, they officially announced it today.
They deleted the web page like months
All right,
ago,
but
so.
I don't know. Maybe Lockjaw just teleported it somewhere else. Amy, what do you think? I was called it Legions of S.H.I.E.L.D. What a great crossover. I would watch that show. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yay or nay? You think it's going to continue?
Yes.
You just want it to continue, though.
I don't know about that. A little bit, yes, I guess, because I think we would all like to say goodbye, our official goodbyes with the show, and I think they would want it to be.
I think the that same. The people on the show would like a chance to
yes.
say goodbye, but what do you think, Carrie?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that I would think if they weren't leaning towards canceled, they would have said something more, like, so that, yeah, because then you go out with a bang of, oh, it's the season finale, show finale. And have more people tune in. I like your idea that maybe it's getting ready for a transition of some sort.
Yeah.
That could be a possibility, too. Or maybe this will be the end for now, and like maybe they'll do like a half something
or whatever.
Well, that's
one possibility, sort of hedging your bets, is they could do like a 13-episode season.
Yeah, just do a
just to, like, let's,
round
let's
it
tidy
up.
It up. You
even
know?
Like a 6-episode season.
They could do that, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, something like that, I think if it does come back, it's not going to be for 22 episodes.
No, I don't think that.
Going to just
maybe.
Be like a final hurrah. Look, it's going to have, I think, 110 episodes. And, you know, magic number for selling shows worldwide is 100. So once you have that.
Syndication.
That's right. Syndication money. Make that syndication money, Tony.
I think that would be real cheap. I mean, I think that would be like a real, don't know. I just, that would rub me the wrong way if I was like, oh, they only did this season just to get syndication.
Well, that was part, I mean, I think from all accounts, ABC didn't want this season that we just got. But Disney was like, no, we need to get to 100. And I don't know, I think this is one of the best seasons. I really like the space part.
Yeah, it's been a really good season. He just gave you a look and said,
I
know.
I just was surprised you said that.
I do, because I have, I think the other seasons tended to be uneven. And I think this one was consistent all the way through. Now, it's, you know, if the finale, season. If the finale really, you know, what's the bet, maybe it'll change my opinion. Yeah. But I feel pretty good about it.
Well, we do have a live chat going on, so if you are watching this on YouTube, please join us in the live chat or comment down below if you're watching this later. ABK88 says, the network has advertised as a season finale.
Yes.
So not series finale. And then Nicholas Stormy points out about Inhumans, but they were calling Inhumans complete series before they even finished airing.
After they aired, like, the first one, they did start focusing. I think, actually, even before they aired it at all, like...
Yeah.
It went from being IMAX. Called the first season. I went to that IMAX screening. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. I was the only one in the audience, I think, that did. But they referred to it as the complete series. Like, you know, they treated it more as like an 8-part event as opposed to, you know, an 8-episode season one.
Yeah.
And given all the money that they have, like, come on. Like, why not make another one?
You know, I think because they might want to focus that money somewhere else, you know?
When you've got a whole universe you're working with, why leave something undone?
I mean, you kind of want to, you know, keep people on the hook between now and Avengers 4, or at least, I know we have Ant-Man coming up, and then, but Captain Marvel's not until March. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to kind of keep people interested in the universe, you know? Mm-hmm. You'll have a lot of product to sell before then. You got merch, you know, you got...
So much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. merch.
I never see it, but I would buy some. But I'm just talking about, you keep people interested in the Marvel Universe, and there's so much Marvel Universe merch. But if they want to sell a Phil Coulson, like, shield that she comes out of your hand, I'm right there.
It's a flashlight.
Which is a great transition into this week's penultimate... That's right, episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And as always, we talk about spoilers on this show. So let's dive right in. Amy, because you sound so excited, I wanted to start with you. What did you think of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week?
It was... I liked it more than I had been liking the previous episodes.
Yeah?
Yes, probably only because of that beautiful moment between...
The Phil-Linda moment?
That's what we're going with?
That's what somebody in the chat called it, and we weren't able to come up with a good one in that same episode, okay. So we'll just stick with it, yeah.
All right, thank you guys for contributing. It was sweet.
Finally, it's one of those damn.
Yeah, but then he was so cool about it. He's like, "I got my shield."
I mean, Coulson's a pretty cool guy. You know, I have to say, I'm not I don't ship much, and it was not something that I thought I wanted. But then in that moment, I'm like, you know what? Good for them. You know, they've both been through a lot.
Were you like Daisy? You're like, all right.
Daisy was funny, actually. And
she was very funny.
That was one hot of those. Lips. Exactly. I know. Calling Coulson hot lips. And he was very funny where he was just like, not a world. Not a world. That's an order. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's other things in the episode to talk about, but I feel like we should start there. Michael, what did you think?
That was my favorite moment as well.
Really, now, did anybody rewind it and watch it again?
No.
It was just one of those things.
Survey.
You did.
No, but I'll use it completely different. But on the TV show The Office, when Jim and Pam first, because my wife kept rewinding it because she wanted to keep watching it. I'm like, can we go to the next scene now? She's so like, beautiful. I need to see it one more time.
It was a long kiss.
Yeah.
And that one, you mean? It's such a great setup.
This one.
The setup, like pulling her in close. It was like great romantic. It's also a payoff that we've been waiting for forever.
But I didn't know I was waiting for it. Until,
really?
Not this week, but like in the season. I'm like, I guess.
Oh, that's no. That tension's been going on for a while that you're like.
But she was married.
Okay, well then. To a monster. After that point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like literally.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Nicholas Stormy in the chat asks Christian, so who do you ship?
It's a great question. I guess my quick answer, so we can move on, is always Kitty Pryde and Colossus. That's always my go-to.
There you go.
But on this show, if you think of the couples we've had on this show, Fitz and Simmons, absolutely from the pilot. But some of the other relationships we had, like May and Ward, Skye and Ward. Yeah. Anyone in Ward. You know,
I didn't mind Skye and Ward.
I didn't.
I liked it, and then I stopped liking it.
Right. He was a bad guy. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. But May and Ward never made any sense. Mm-mm. So there haven't been that many relationships. I do like Mac and Yo-Yo.
Mac and Yo-Yo,
I think, from kind of the beginning. No. You didn't like Mac and Yo-Yo?
I don't trust Mac. You know me.
What?
Because he wanted to stay in the framework? But what about before that happened? Yep. Did you trust him before that season?
Yeah.
Okay.
That just broke my trust.
Sure. I don't like his attitude lately. I'm like,
Mac?
They did lock him up. Okay. It happens. Move on.
All right.
He just needs...
Yeah.
Well, let's ask people in the chat, whether you're watching live or watching the archive, do you think that Mac's within his rights to still be a little touchy? It's only been, like, I don't know, like a day or two.
He's being better about it, though,
because he's not quite as, like, I won't even talk to you.
Well, you can talk to Yo-Yo now.
Yeah. He's expressing, like, okay, this is a thing. I agree that this has been a really great, even episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. in terms of, like, consistent tone and exciting and action. And then that kiss definitely sold the scene. But then there's the humor, because, Daisy, like... making jokes about it, but that's what you love about this show is the humor in it. It's so great,
and it's what we were talking about last week, how the team really is like a family. So you know, when Daisy finally does getting around to talking about it, and she says, "So you made out with May," and Coulson's just like, "People see what they want to, I guess," you know, and he just like tries to brush it off. I thought that was funny, and this was a good Deke episode because he's like, "I know zero." He's like, I only know five numbers. Well, I guess I know zero, too. So I know six numbers. And it's a good thing that he knew zero, as it turned out. So I thought that, you know, I think that that character's getting built up really well. I just don't see it happening for him and Daisy.
Well, he's more useful.
No matter how many lemons he gives her. Sorry,
he's getting more useful instead of being just, like, dumb in some of the stuff he does. Because he's not stupid. But just some of the things he does makes him like, ugh, okay, whatever. And we can only get the Iwan from a different time and place gag for so long. So this, he felt useful without, like, being totally in his element. So it was nice to, like you said, see him grow. It's like, good, you're improving.
I really liked when he, like, saved Coulson and May all that work of breaking out of...
that was great.
Yeah, that's true. They were getting ready. And he was just like, hey, guys. Were you going to say something, Amy?
Yes. Well, I saw it somewhere on Twitter that this mom today, happy Mother's Day, everyone, she woke up to lemons near her bed.
Oh, did you retweet it? Because I saw that.
I saw it, right?
I think Chloe Bennett retweeted it because that's how I saw it. Yeah. And I guess a mother who watches the show with her daughter. And the daughter left lemons for the mom to find in the morning. So, very sweet.
That's cute.
That's right. If only somebody would leave me lemons. Hint, no. I don't need lemon scent here. So, also in the episode, we get to really see... this was a lot of Talbot in this episode. And that's going to factor into our theme for our episode this week of Megalomaniacs. But the moment where his son just tells him that he's not a hero, that's rough. You know, my kid tells me a lot of things. He says he'll yell at me, "Daddy, I don't like you. Daddy, go away." A lot of those things. But I like to think he thinks in some way that I'm probably because I have so many Spider-Man shirts. I think he thinks that I'm a hero. But you know, and I think that obviously, if Talbot's wife had said that, he would have like folded her up into an accordion or something. But his kid, he's like, "I'm so mad, but I can't quite do it." So that's the shred that he still has. I don't know. What do you think about this sort of evolution of Talbot, Michael?
Oh, gosh. I'm so annoyed. I mean, you know, I like that actor, and I think he's fun, and I thought he was fun as, like, their general
or
whatever. But after he got out of that machine, I just haven't really cared for him. He's taken it a little too far.
It's not a great costume, also.
And back to turning people into, like, an accordion.
Yeah.
it was really funny because I noticed that the same week he did that on Legion, someone was folded up into an accordion just like that.
Yes, it's true. It does happen on both shows.
Yeah.
What do you think of General Talbot, Amy?
I'm annoyed with him, yes. But I guess I'm in the minority. I do like his little
You like his ensemble?
I do, and I love his hair. It's very nicely done.
The beard.
The goatee, it's so groomed.
Yeah, it's very well groomed because he was very unkempt earlier this season.
Exactly. Yes. He, just like his face and the way it's nicely groomed reminds me of Doctor Strange. And I think that's what I like.
I can see that, sure. You know, and he also has a nice cloak. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Carrie?
I'm okay with the costume, but he looks bulky. That I was like, he didn't seem like, but not in really good way. Like, he looks awkward in the costume a little bit.
Like he went to the all-you-can-eat Gravitonium buffet and went back for, like, one plate too many.
Yeah, a little bit, because he seems very awkward, stiff, Iron Manly, giant torso man, and you're like, like, it's not... Yeah, it just looks awkward. Or he seems awkward in the costume. I can't quite tell what it is.
I think you look tough.
He looks a lot tougher than he used to.
I know he's definitely doing, like, a posture of, like, I am imposing and such, which I agree. I think he's a great actor, and I've enjoyed, like, his progression. But this phase is, like, this can't last too much longer.
Yeah. I enjoyed it when he was funny.
Yeah, I liked when he was funny, and we're not getting that.
ABK88 says they have a hairstylist on the spaceship. I agree. Yeah, his magical transformation, real quick, of transformations and transforming your lives. Do you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those of you who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe with Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us that sent you there. Marvel TV News. Woohoo!
Marvel TV Weekly.
Weekly. I'm
like, yeah, that's the name
I'm used
of
to
show.
The horror movie news, so yeah. Marvel TV Weekly.
When we first met for this show, we thought it was going to be called that, actually.
There we are.
There you go.
So, yes, Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
Thank you. And I'm going to drink some water. But yes. Before I do...
Do you have enough cups?
No, actually, I don't, apparently.
What? No.
So, we've got one episode left, and I've already touched on that I think some people are going to die. I think Coulson's going to pull through, but that May's going to die.
What?
No. Because they're going to do something tragic, and I think because he's already on death's door, I think they're going to figure out a way to save him. And I think people are going to be upset that somebody dies, and that seems to make sense. Maybe Yo-Yo, too. Anyway.
Someone was suggesting Yo-Yo because that would be kind of an indication that the future they've has changed.
What if Yo-Yo, Fitz, and Simmons all die?
Whoa!
And then, Deke disappears like the brother and sister in Back to the Future.
Wow.
I don't like what you just
said. Well, I'm just putting it all out there.
Look, I think Deke's going to disappear.
I think Deke should disappear. I like Deke.
No,
that's fine.
But it's not like Daisy dies, sure. You know? Like, if he disappears, it's not like he dies.
Hey, that really ties into Infinity War.
Yeah, true.
But it depends on exactly of how important is it to have how many people die? Because how impactful is this going to be? Or are we going to have it kind of tie into more Infinity War of, like, we're going to have people disappear?
I would hope that any of the deaths of people on the show don't happen in that Infinity War way.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think it's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. And then it would be completely random. And I might be right. And, like, everybody disappears. And then we just don't know.
We should get one big death for sure. Just because
I think we will.
After all they've been through, it's like really nobody's dead.
Yeah.
They said that, you know, they have enough serum to either stop the general or save Coulson.
That's true.
I think they're going to stop the general. Coulson's going to die. I don't know what you're talking about. May disappearing. She's the cavalry. Like, no one can take her out. Like, no way.
She doesn't have any superpowers.
She's just tough as nails.
She's that good that she's so
I mean, she's good, no superpowers. But it's like, she's like Hawkeye, all right? You can take out Hawkeye, you know? He's just got some bows
can
and arrows. If he doesn't show up in the movie, sure.
He's a sniper.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's what I'm thinking. Amy, Michael, did you give your predictions or did I jump over you?
Well,
I thought you did.
I think that Deke's going to disappear and that's how they're going to know things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... Coulson's gonna die.
Okay. Anybody else? You're gonna kill everybody?
I hope
not. What about Trip? Is Trip gonna die?
Stop.
I hope that Daisy lead the team.
I thought you were going to say, I hope that Daisy dies.
No, you know, upset. I don't think she's, like, at this moment a good leader. No. But mm-hmm. I think if Coulson died, that might snap her into, like, what would Coulson do?
Yeah.
Kind of train of thinking.
WWE. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just because of her history with S.H.I.E.L.D., I would love to see her leading.
Right. What do you think, Amy?
I think Coulson's going to die. Because we just got that happy, beautiful moment with him and May, and they're just going to stab us in the heart. That's why
my first thought was that he was going to die, and he's already been stabbed in the heart, you know? Yeah, so, like, yeah, exactly. Like, how many times can it happen to him? Yeah. So I feel like that moment meant that one of them was going to die, and I was thinking Coulson. I'm like, you know what? They're going to probably mix it up on us, and it'll be May. And so we'll see.
But then again, would it be satisfying or less shocking if it is someone we expect to die, or is it better if it's someone where we're all
that's why I think it won't be Coulson, because we're all kind of, we've come to terms with the fact that he's going to die, and he's also died before.
Yeah.
We've dealt with, we've
that could be another reason why they let him go, because people have already, you know, imagined a world without him.
I also hope that Ghost Rider shows up
you
and
know
saves
what?
His life.
Star Drew in the chat actually just said, do we see Ghost Rider again?
I hope so.
Yes.
Now we'll find out next week. Let's talk for a moment or two about Legion. Amy and I have already talked about it this week because I sat in on the Legion after show. And Amy did an excellent job. So if you want to see us really dive into it, and there were a lot of Davids to talk about.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But I'll start with Michael. What were your thoughts on this episode of Legion?
I think it might have been the best one we've gotten.
Ever?
Like, of all, like, 14, 15 episodes?
Maybe. I mean, it really brought in the multiple personalities. I mean, and although it wasn't like he was completely different people, as I know you, Christian, would have liked to seen with different powers.
With Jack Wayne, the telekinetic, Cindy, the pyrotechnic, and the real David, who, like, warps time and reality and all that. Yes.
There are just so many, hundreds and hundreds of personalities. I think that might turn it into a different show.
Yeah.
But I think this also could be a way of showing that if he had maybe a psychic break, things might splinter, and to cope, maybe he could go into more personalities, being everything that's going on with his sister, and I don't know, he kind of seems like he could be at, like, a breaking point where things might get real bad.
Yeah, I think that that's what this episode was, to kind of, like, let's take a step back and let's look at it. You know, we've had a couple of those episodes in recent weeks where we got to see, you know, all about Sid's story, and I think we're getting that background because these last few episodes are really going to, we're going to see sort of why those are so important and what happens. You know, they talked about, like, you know, David's fragmented personalities. If one of them dies, you saw the other ones kind of feel it. And our David, that's like when our David tried to kill himself, you know. So there's some interesting ways in which they all touched on each other. So I think we'll see that he's obviously very angry right now, and he's coming for the Shadow King. And I don't know if he's quite equipped to take out the Shadow King. I mean, you know, he's incredibly powerful, but he's not as focused as, say, his father, Professor Xavier,
That's
is.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he might be intending to do that, but what he does might splinter him into, like, what we know of him in the comics.
I think that it'll be interesting, and I think we'll see that in the next couple weeks. Amy, your thoughts on this episode?
I realize that I tend to like episodes of Legion when they're a little bit more focused, if that makes sense, which is weird because it was not focused. There were so many Davids.
It's kind of like a one-shot comic book that's like a totally different story.
Here. Yes, and we really just, we got to see Dan Stevens in so many different personalities that we were able to see just how talented he was if we didn't know already. And
Downton Abbey.
It was fun because it was fun to watch, and you were trying to put all these puzzle pieces together. So, yeah, I would have to agree with you, Michael, that it's my favorite episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, especially as you watch, like, in the first act, a couple acts of the show, you weren't quite sure how, you know, which parts of which stories, and, oh, that one's actually our David, which I didn't realize for a while. And then the notion that intern David becomes, like, billionaire David, which certainly wasn't apparent the first couple times we cycled through the different personalities. So I think that this is a perfect episode of, look, it's not going to necessarily make sense if it's the first one you watch, but I'm like, if you want to know what the show's about, this is a great one to kind of see. It's just so many different things. And it was cool to see Carrie not Carrie, but Carrie show up and take out one of the Davids. I thought that was actually kind
of
cool.
Took me out of it a little bit.
Oh, well. Okay, go ahead. What's in the chat?
A couple theories and comments from the chat. Xavier Clark says Legion equals hive mind. Interesting. As a thought. And all the different minds he has in him or powers, kind of somewhat. Then also that the assumption was that David was testing out Farouk's theory about being all powerful and able to create and shape reality by utilizing his power to see what he could really do. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for everybody in the chat. You get so many great theories out of the chat. And sometimes I'll think of things a lot differently when I watch the next episode because of what we got from the chat. So thanks to everybody. And if you're not watching live, you have probably noticed that I have no problem commenting on the YouTube comments in the middle of the night. Unless people leave like really weird, creepy stuff, then I leave it alone. But anyway, we'll just leave it at that. Carrie, what were your thoughts about this episode of Legion? That we're talking about right now. It sounds pretty cool, right?
No, I'm loving. I'm with Amy though, or agree and disagree. I like it when it is a little more bizarre and less like regular, and just having the different versions is so much more interesting to explore that because we already know that's going on. So it's nice to really be able to dive into it. And yeah, I love it was an actor. I've been watching a lot of Downton Abbey too, so I'm like,
and he's the beast in Beauty and the Beast. Hello.
Well, you barely see him.
I would say the Legion performance is by far better than the
Oh, no. It's just, it's more the difference between the two because I, for a while, when Legion started, didn't even realize it was the same guy on Downton Abbey. I'm like, wow.
Looks very different.
It's totally transformation of, it's not even a huge, like, physical difference, but just posture and just changing up his hair. He lost weight.
Lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he's so thin on Legion in comparison. But yeah, I think he's a great actor for sure.
Yeah, so anyway, let us know what you think, and we've got a few more episodes. I think we talked about this last week that we're getting an 11th episode in this season of Legion, so he'll be sticking around for a few more weeks, even if we only have one more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we'll keep talking about that show. But what we're going to do is spend a few minutes here on sort of our overall theme, which is the megalomaniacs. And it's always so hard for me to say. Megalomaniacs. Every time I say it, I'm like, no, I know I said it wrong.
It's a hard word to say.
For me. Just for me.
No, you're not the only
one. And, you know, so megalomania is defined as a delusional mental illness that is marked by feelings of personal omnipotence and grandeur. So I want to, since we're talking about Legion, I feel like the Shadow King, Amal Farouk, is a perfect example of that. I think that everything he does is really just, unfortunately, he has the power to back it up. You know, he, in a lot of ways, is omnipotent. You know, it's like, especially if he gets, you know, the little, like, rat thing in your ear or whatever. You know, he's able to take charge. So I think he's a perfect example of that level of power. And to backtrack to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you'd asked me a month ago, I wouldn't have said Glenn Talbot. I was like, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But he's definitely a megalomaniac now that he's got all that gravitonium. And he's like, look what I can do. You know, and he's like, I can finally shut up my wife and put her up against the wall. Apparently that's what he had in him. So, you know, just sort of some weird reactions of what he's doing, you know, with all this stuff. But I thought it would be fun for us to each mention a couple of megalomaniacs in the grand scheme of the Marvel Universe. That includes TV, movies, comics. Just specify if there's a specific one that you're focusing on. Amy, we'll let you go first.
Yay! I am solely focusing on the MCU. So the first megalomaniac...
So much better than the way I say it. Thank you.
Say it really slow. That I wanted to talk about is Loki. And if you're watching us right now, you can look at your screen. That is Loki. Yes. Spoiler. I feel like he's actually looking at us because it's a black background and just kind of fades in. It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah. I do love the hat with the...
The hat?
With the spikes on it. It's
a hat, really. It's a hat. Yeah. You can find it anywhere. Yeah. A spoiler alert if you have not seen Infinity War. So he dies. But...
we think. Yeah.
Most likely. Well, he definitely dies in the movie. Now. Does he stay dead?
Yes. That's true. Does he stay dead?
But prior to his death, he was most definitely a megalomaniac. He just wants power. He wants everything. And there's very little sympathy and empathy that he has with everyone around him. And we've been able to see that in Avengers, all the Thor movies, and now, well, yeah, all the Avenger movies
as well. And the interesting thing is, because even when you think, like, oh, you know what, he's kind of turned a new leaf. Look at him, he's helping out his brother. No. Nobody's quick to sell him out to Jeff Goldblum. I'm sorry, I don't remember the character's name. In Ragnarok, instantly.
The Grandmaster,
look at you. If I wish I had my bell, I would ding it. And, yeah, so he's immediately like, oh, no, you know, I barely know him. And, of course... You know, he still steals the Tesseract, even though, like, Asgard is destroying all around him. He's like, hang on, let me take a minute. This is important. Yeah. Obviously, it was important. But anyway, just imagine if he didn't take it, then Thanos would never have been able to put together the Infinity Gauntlet.
This really sucks now.
Yeah. Just imagine. Thanks, Loki.
So it's all his fault is what you're saying.
Way to be a megalomaniac. Yeah. And anyway, so speaking of which, who is your other megalomaniac, Amy?
You guys might have heard of him, I think. Thanos? Yeah. He's a pretty big, important guy. And Christian even has a shirt with his face on it.
Oh, my.
It's the cover of Infinity Gauntlet number 1. It's just a close-up of
everybody.
Nice. The one number
one.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously this really goes with Infinity War, this last movie. Obviously, it's still in theaters. Go check it out now.
Yeah, because it needs to make more money. Please go get it. Yeah,
please.
Go check it out. Help them get to $2 billion.
Exactly.
That's what we talked about in box office. Yeah.
He wants everything. He wants power. He wants all of the stones, obviously, to be put on his gauntlet. And, yeah, he has... I mean, I would say that he wants... what's best for people, but that's so twisted that he thinks that wiping like half of the population away would solve a lot of issues. But there's no empathy.
No, there's no empathy. I mean, when you look at it clinically, it's like, yes, now people aren't hungry because there's half as many people, which is what he says to Gamora. It's like, yeah, nobody on your planet went hungry again after I did. So you're welcome. but the key to the definition is a delusional mental illness. So he really thinks, like, I have this capacity to do this. Mm-hmm. And as we've said, he will look at the sunrise on a grateful universe. And he's, you know, he's still waiting for all the thank you cards for people that he did that. So,
well, they're all dead.
Yeah, and I think that Thanos is the perfect example. Not that Loki wasn't, but it's just like this guy checks off all the boxes. Mm-hmm. Carrie, who are your thoughts for megalomaniacs?
Not quite as aggressively evil, but because generally I would think these people would fall into an evil category because what they do is generally mass destruction, which, pretty much sounds like all the people. Yeah. I was thinking of Magneto, but he's almost a villain that you respect his concept of what he's going for. Of like, of course you want to save all the mutants, but, they're superior and all the humans must die.
Yeah, it's like we've talked about this, and it's sort of the point with Killmonger and Black Panther. It's like when people, it's like, oh, where you're starting from, it's a good place. Mm-hmm. And then you go, like, these couple steps down the road, and that's, like, a little too far. And then you go, like, you know, and when Magneto has wanted to wipe out Homo sapiens and replace him with Homo superior, you're like, oh, dude, that's too much.
Well,
that's
he's not turning into what he hates. Like, the character was supposed to be, like, in a concentration camp, you know? So he's actually turning into, like, a Hitler.
Right, and he's such a great, well-rounded character. And it's, he's had so...
Well,
I don't know why
he starts off well of, like, and he's not, like, every single human must die, but kind of touch upon, like, the word empathy. He will get to that point where humans are definitely lower on his chain of who, if you're in his way... He will not hesitate to kill, but maybe if he's a mutant, he might consider a superior being. So he'd be like, eh. But it's one of those that, you kind of go, oh, I get what you're going at, but not quite.
And, you know.
Which makes him a more interesting villain.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, and sort of like we're saying with Thanos, he's just convinced that what he's doing is right.
His is
and
just like.
But his is, his is
too
like.
Too far.
He's from a different world.
He's from a very different world. It's like he's like the cult leader.
Do you think
like
he needs a therapist? Thanos?
I mean, yes. Thanos? Yes, absolutely. Yes. He should definitely see someone.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about Magneto, just snap. Don't even think about your answer for more than a second. Fassbender or Ian McKellen?
Oh.
I know I wouldn't put you on the spot because I thought it was me.
Seriously?
That's easy.
I mean,
it's easy for me, but I would say Fassbender.
What?
Yeah. Because it's the more interesting Magneto to me, because he hasn't gotten to the place where Ian McKellen is.
No, that's a good argument. Yeah. But it's just definitely very different places.
Yeah. So all right. So you can't pick a favorite.
But, I mean, like, if we're talking for Xavier, though, I'm like, Patrick Stewart are the way, but...
Oh, well, I didn't ask that question. I know. That was an obvious question.
That was Magneto. I'm like, well, and see, really both of those I like that. I'm like, well, they're just different points in his life that I'm, it's fine.
I really like James McAvoy as an actor. I think he's an okay, yeah, he's a fine Xavier, but it's there's no comparison. Who is your other choice?
I'm looking at some interesting suggestions from the chat, too.
Well, please, bring our friends into the conversation.
Ivan Soto says Victor Stein from Runaways, which I'm like, yeah. Actually, that is definitely a character that starts off maybe okay, but his vision is a little bit much.
Yes.
Where was it? Xavier Jones says Dr. Doom, Harry Osborn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think those are some good suggestions.
Harry Osborn, I would say, sure, but more Norman Osborn than Harry Osborn, the OG Green Goblin. Harry Osborn has the anger of the death of his father. So they're both...
Yeah.
There's no wrong answers here. These are all crazy people.
These are all just great, crazy ones. Xavier has a few things, but a Mr. Sinister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that he's definitely a megalomaniac.
Yes.
But what was your other choice?
Now I'm blanking on my thoughts too. Come back to me.
We'll come back to you. Michael, who do you have?
My first one would be Mojo.
Oh, I love Mojo.
He is the definition of a megalomaniac. And I feel like he fits really well with us because his, that's a great picture of him. He's a real looker. but he's like an alien species. Mm-hmm. And his big claim to fame is he runs basically a area of the multiverse called Mojo World, in which he uses television as his way to control everyone.
Yes.
So ratings just factor into what teams he wants to go after, who he wants, and he can bend time, and he has magical powers to say, everyone gets really into Wolverine. Well, Wolverine's going to bring me ratings, so he's going to morph Wolverine there and just do all kinds of crazy stuff with them. And he's just kind of funny, kind of just nuts, wild to look at. Doesn't care about anybody but rating.
And comic book wise, he's first introduced in Longshot's miniseries, and I think they realize what a great character this is, so they bring him over to deal with the X-Men, and Longshot ends up joining the team as well. There are a couple episodes of the animated series that Mojo is in, but I think that's currently not streaming, so I would tell you to go find it, but you can't. But don't worry, the Disney service will have it. So I will give one reading recommendation. X-Men, Uncanny X-Men Annual number 10 is the introduction of the X-Babies. So he takes the X-Men and he turns them into babies. Think of the Muppet Babies. And because he knew that was going to be better for it would be better for ratings.
That sounds so great.
So find that. You can find that digitally. You want to find it in a comic book store. It's probably not that. It's probably going to cost you $10 or something. What were you going to say, Karen?
I thought of my person.
All right.
Kind of a left, kind of a curveball out of left field. There's two things there. A hero will go with Punisher in the Spider-Man cartoon.
Sure.
Because in that, he is solely doesn't care about, understanding who his target is, of just, they're the bad person going after, and Spider-Man's constantly like, dude, you need to, understand this person. They're not as evil as you think, or we need to analyze this. And he's just like, nope, I'm just going to kill him.
There's a point in the comics where he has a psychotic break more than what you think he has. And, he's, trying to take out, jaywalkers and litterers. I might be exaggerating. But, he's just like, you are breaking a law. You need to be punished. Mm-hmm. So, I think he obviously he comes from a very different place than a lot of these other people. There's the trauma in his life.
Yeah.
Whichever incarnation of the Punisher you're talking about.
For sure.
Whether it's comic book, whether it's Netflix, whether it's Thomas Jane, they all come from the same place, the trauma of, just having his family killed. So I think he definitely fits the bill. And there are heroes that definitely fit the bill. I mean, you could certainly make points that a lot of heroes have behaved in this way at various times. Michael, who's your other choice?
My other is Madeline Pryor, a.k.a. the Goblet Goblin Queen, aka the Red Queen. Really, really kind of a sad story. She was created just to be kind of like Scott's new girlfriend after Jean died, and then too many people put their hands in the pie, and she evolved over the years to being... You find out she's a clone of Jean that was created by Mr. Sinister to kind of like spy on the X-Men, and then she realizes that she's like not really a person, loses it, and just goes straight into megalomania mode, and just does everything she can to ruin Scott's life, ruin his relationships, get back a new body, preferably Jean's, just very much all about becoming a real person, but and doesn't care about what she has to do.
In terms of things that are going on currently, she's Cable's mommy.
She because is Cable's
mom. Little baby Nathan Charles Christopher Summers gets sent off into the future to become Cable because of some virus he has. It's very convoluted. But anyway, she's Cable's mom. So that will tie in.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, thank you. Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, Maddie.
And
yeah.
Then when... Madeline Pryor dies many times, but...
So does Jean Grey. So,
I know, that's it makes perfect sense. Yeah. So after she goes, Jean becomes like the de facto mom for Cable.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And poor Rachel. Rachel Summers. Anyway, if you want to read a great Madeline Pryor comic book story, there are a lot of crossovers that they started doing in the 80s and into the 90s. One of my favorites is probably Inferno, and that's when she's the Goblin Queen. It's a great instance of taking a character that, first of all, was considered good, but second of all, kind of a minor character, and she just has all these, like, sort of devious machinations, some megalomaniacal things.
And she talks another X-Men, Havoc, and to be in her side
That's
piece.
That's right. Her side piece. And by the way, Havoc's brother is...
Oh, Scott.
Cyclops. Yeah. So that just adds She's an extra spiteful. Level to it. My megalomaniacs, these are both come... from the comics, although my second one I will refer to the movie version. Let's start with we're going to start with, I guess, the more obvious one, Galactus, because he eats planets. I mean, he gets hungry, he eats a planet, and there's no sense, there's definitely no remorse. He's just like, well, I'm hungry.
So if he eats an empty planet, is that like no seasoning in a planet full of people? It just tastes better?
It's way
no
more calories. Delicious. Yeah.
So crazy.
It's like celery planets.
There have been a number of characters, in, most notably the Silver Surfer was like originally his herald who sort of flies to the galaxy to find planets for him. And one of the characters called Nova in sort of like the 80s and 90s was his herald, and she would try to find planets. We're like, well, you know, population died off like 1,000 years ago. I'm going to have... So she would like try and have him eat moons and things. You know, it's like basically have him be a vegan. You know, like, oh, just eat this dead moon. It's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
But again, the greatest tragedy that the Fantastic Four are not a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe includes the fact that we don't have a great Galactus. And I hope that one day we'll get it. If not, maybe an animated series where we get to see him. And then my other choice is the light, the fun, but definitely a megalomaniac, J. Jonah Jameson, because he definitely thinks he's omnipotent because he's the voice of the truth, justice, and the Daily Bugle. And boy, does he hate Spider-Man. And he is so perfectly represented in the films by J.K. Simmons that we have still not seen J. Jonah Jameson since Spider-Man 3, the third and final Tobey Maguire. There's an email that Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man gets from him very quickly, but we don't actually see him in any movie. So,
Real quick.
Yeah.
If you guys ever watched the XD, the animated XD Spider-Man,
the one that's I forget what it's called, the current one.
But it's not actually the current one because I'm not sure if they have him in that. But in the previous iteration with Drake Bell voicing Spider-Man, it was still J.K. Simmons doing the voice.
I love that.
Yeah, for the actual J. Jonas in that Spider-Man show. Because his voice is pretty prominent in, like, the early episodes.
See, now that's great to know, because that's... I feel like I'm going to watch all of these animated things on the Disney platform with my kid, you know, so...
They're really fun. Yeah, a lot of cameos.
So that's is that two thumbs up from the one and only Tony B. Tony?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs
if
up.
If I had three, it'd be up too.
Whoa.
It's creepy. Yeah, that is a little creepy. Anyway, let us know who your megalomaniacs are in the Marvel Universe. We covered the TV, we covered the movie, and we covered the comics. There's plenty of them. It's a topic that we can revisit regularly, and also I feel like it'll just come up week to week when new characters are introduced. Sort of the final thing we're going to talk about as we wind down here, and if Anthony can find it and play it under without the music, we did get the trailer for Luke Cage Season 2, and I believe that is June 22nd. So that's not that far off.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of this show, I'm always worried that we're only, like, it looked like we were going to only have Cloak and Dagger. You know, that Legion was going to end, and then we were just going to have Cloak and Dagger into the summer. And yes, I know that it's a Netflix show and it drops all at once, but at least we'll be able to talk about Luke Cage a little bit this summer. So I'm excited, and when we get a little bit closer to it, we will talk about we'll do a little character corner, which I know we haven't done in a while, of Bushmaster, and we'll get to talk a little bit about him. But I think... I don't know. You decide, Tony, as to whether or not we're supposed to play the audio from this. I don't know how that works. That's
I mean, as long as you talk over
it. Oh, okay. We won't stop talking. Anyway, I don't know. I think it looks cool. I'm excited. I enjoyed season one of Luke Cage, and I think it's about time. And he's not in the trailer, but I know that my buddy Danny Rand, the Iron Fist, is in this season, and I love the way the two of them interact together. Michael, are you excited for Luke Cage Season 2?
Yeah, I wanted to see more Misty Knight in the trailer.
Yeah.
We really didn't get a great look at her arms, but...
I was about to say, with that robotic arm.
Yeah. I think that they wanted to just sort of tease you with it and be like, look, she's got it.
For sure.
Because obviously after Defenders, you were like, well, we know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you didn't know, but most of us knew. Amy, your thoughts on some more Luke Cage in our life?
I am so freaking pumped. Yeah, I'm really excited. I actually went to the Netflix FYC event last week, and I spoke with a few people that are going to be in Luke Cage, and I spoke to the creator, Chio Hadari Coker. Did I say that right?
Good for, you know what?
Yes.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure. Yes.
I'm pretty sure you did, though, actually, yes.
And, I mean, it was just so cool to get to talk to them, and they're really excited for us to see it. So they said it's bigger, it's better, it's blah. So,
well, yeah. I have a friend who works on that show, and I know that she got to write an episode this year, so I'm very excited for her, and that'll be great to see.
I would love to have Jessica Jones in this season.
Oh, my gosh.
But what about Claire? Come on. He can't be two-timing.
Both, you know, the first half of
Step
the
aside, Claire.
Season, oh, the second step half.
Really? Aside. Look at you,
creepy. Give Hellcat those claws. Leave Jessica's man alone.
What do you think, Carrie, about another season of Luke Cage? Anything in the trailer jump out at you?
I'm definitely excited to see more of this character, because my only problem with the season one is, similar to Jessica Jones, is it just takes too long for our hero to be a hero, to like do stuff. So I'm glad that he's finally in it, and because that's what we want to see. It's like, we want to see you doing cool superhero things. I don't like the, well, I'm just gonna drag my feet forever and I don't want to be involved, like it's not what I'm there for. So I'm excited to move on to season two and like really develop this character. And more Misty, that'd be great. And like, because a lot of the side characters are super interesting on Luke Cage, so hopefully we see more of them as well.
Yeah, I think we're at an interesting point in these Netflix series, because the season two is when you really get to see who they are. You know, we really got to get a lot out of Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of Patsy. So I think it'll be interesting to see what we get out of... You know, and I mean, honestly, season two of Daredevil, I think, really
Patsy.
Pushed this story forward. There wasn't too much Patsy in season two of Daredevil, but and you know, Daredevil season three is actually coming fairly soon.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm
know if it's next, but we'll see. I don't know. Matt needs a lot of time to recover. Yes, Tony.
Firstly, I hope they make the season as long as it needs to be, and hopefully they don't drag it out, because personally, I start falling off around these shows around the 7th or 8th episode.
Oh, I thought you were going to say season,
No, 7th or 8th episode, and that's when it really just starts dragging on and starts feeling more like a chore to watch these shows. Like, I felt the same thing with Jessica Jones, and that was like, not the first one, the second season.
It did
and it's
a little.
And it's been my favorite Marvel Netflix show, and it even that dragged on for me. So I'm
too
just like
much push and pull back and forth.
Yeah. Right. I know what you're saying. And I mean, as much as I liked the first half of Luke Cage, once Cottonmouth was gone, it kind of lost a lot of steam for me.
What? It's like they're dragging their legs.
Cottonmouth was so good, I was just like, you better replace him with something better. And I don't think that they did.
He was a scene stealer.
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah.
And that's that's why my scandalous comments that when I say that when I was going, making the rounds and saying that I liked Iron Fist better than Luke Cage was because it worked all the way through as a whole season. But that's just me. That's all right. We're not here to agree.
That face, Amy.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah. I keep it real.
I'm with you, yeah.
That's all right. Look.
Yeah. We're Team Danny Rand over here.
No. I am Team Danny Rand.
But that's the great thing, though, with, like, Defenders is, regardless how you feel about him, the interactions between all of them is so what's entertaining. Mm-hmm. So Luke Cage, I don't love Danny Rand as a character, but I'm excited to see him and Luke Cage together.
They were so good together. I mean, I said at the time... I think I said on the show that if they just, whatever they wanted to talk about, I was in. I was just really interested in.
Though I must say, he was at Comic-Con, the actor for Danny Rand, and he's super nice. So then I'm like, I can't hate you because you were so pleasant.
See, that helps. Yeah. Goes a long way.
It was.
So our the final comment that we're going to have here is that we have another Marvel movie opening this weekend. It is not a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, but it is a Marvel character. Deadpool 2. I'm excited because I thought Deadpool 1 was funny, but I found a lot of people are a little bit less excited about it, but I just think he's fun, he makes me laugh, and I love Colossus in the first one, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, such a minor character. It was great that they turned her into something that was so great in the first movie, and we're going to get Cable, so I don't know, I'm really looking forward to this. You know, I was not looking forward to it more than Infinity War, but now we have to look past it. So we will talk a little bit about Deadpool 2, those of us who see it. I know you won't see it, Michael. Have you seen Deadpool 1 yet?
I have not.
Yeah,
see, I do want to see that. I'm going to see both of them. But I just really don't know much a lot about the X-Force.
Yeah.
They've just never been a team that I really followed.
They're no Generation X. That's really what it
comes down to. There's this really cool like little featurette that I believe it's like the Hulk versus Wolverine, and they delve into the whole, I believe it's the X-Force because it's Deadpool, Wolverine, also what's the guy with the tentacles and he's red, Omega Red.
Yes,
I believe Red and some other characters. That I believe are the X-Force.
I'm familiar with the characters, but not really the storylines, like big players.
But you can
like
still
Domino
love the movies,
and
regardless.
And, yeah, when Deadpool came out, I didn't know it was going to be opening into a whole... I mean, he just told me the other day that Deadpool was part of the whole Sony thing. I didn't know that.
Well, it was Fox, but... Because Sony Spider-Man,
Sony, Fox, yeah.
It's hard to keep track, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about it... just over on box office of Deadpool opening weekend was higher than Iron Man and higher than Guardians and pretty much one of the higher early superhero movies thing opening weekends box office wise. Also, it's like one of the first R superhero ones that was huge. I mean, Blade's rated R, but that's
yeah,
a different
I mean,
kind
Blade's
of
rated R
Dark
and
yeah.
Watchmen.
Like, those are
another
different.
Ryan
but
Reynolds
But in this,
movie.
Like, new renaissance of superhero movies, it's one of the only, like, rated R. And the fact that it made so much for a rated R movie set precedence to do other ones, because then Logan could be like, we can do rated R, and now we'd be like, yes, we want our rated Rs.
Yeah, and I think that that's really, I think that's interesting, because you can tell those stories, you can tell them not rated R, but you're able to kind of push the envelope a little bit more, and I think Deadpool really works that way. So we'll see. We'll give our thoughts. Who's planning to see the movie this weekend? All right, so the three of us are.
I'm going to see it soon.
But not in the theater. Maybe once you're back in Tennessee,
maybe you'll sneak in the back row.
Well, we'll find out. Anyway, let us know if you're going to see it this weekend and give us your thoughts, and we'll talk about it all spoilery next week. But we are out of time for this week. We actually went a little long, but that's part of the fun. So we will be back next Sunday night at 10 Pacific, and if you're watching this on the archive, that's great. You can just subscribe on iTunes, and, you know, for those on YouTube, Carrie, what do they do?
You all can comment down below.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Michael, where do people find you?
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Michael X Shirley.
Amy?
You can follow me, subscribe, all of that at Amy Cassandra MTZ, and also check out Screen Junkies News tomorrow at 11 Pacific Standard Time.
Standard Time.
I think you should specify also AM or PM.
Oh, definitely.
You just been saying 11 Pacific Standard Time.
That's cool. True. AM.
And Carrie, where do people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie Dealing. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
We don't have time to promote Tony. Just kidding, Tony. At Tony B. Tony _. That's where people find you. And we will be back, as I said, next Sunday. But until then, Excelsior!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
From executive producers Maria
Menounos. Those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.